Over the course of the next 36 hours, each of us are going to be challenged to make a series of promises. Promises in regards to our relationship with God. Promises that deal with our personal integrity. Promises to our wives and children. Promises that will relate to our communities and our churches. And as we follow through on those promises, we are going to learn the power of a promise kept. And men, there is incredible power in a promise kept. I love the story that's often told by Chuck Swindoll about a city in India that was devastated by a major earthquake. Most of the buildings in that city were reduced to rubble, and many people in that city died. One of the survivors was a man that realized that his son had been buried in a two-story school building where he's attending classes that day. As he approached the scene, it was worse than he ever imagined. The building had totally collapsed. All that was left was an unrecognizable mound of concrete. And still, everyone in the building was presumed to be dead. But that did not stop this father, who began to walk around this pile of concrete so he could determine the location of his son's classroom. He remembered that his son's classroom was on the bottom floor, and he finally found the spot where he knew his son and his classmates were buried. He then climbed to the top of this mountain of concrete, and he started to dig. No machinery, no power tools, not even a crowbar. Just bare hands that were fueled by a promise. A promise he had made to his son, that no matter what, if trouble came, he would be there. There were times that his family members came and they tried to tear him away. Even the authorities tried to convince him that his effort was useless. Nevertheless, he kept on digging deeper and deeper into the mound of rubble. Now, even risking his own life, an hour after a sleepless hour, the father dug, fighting fatigue, despair, overwhelming odds. And then finally he heard the sound that he hoped against all hope to hear. He heard the sound of his son's voice. And then there he was, his son, and a few classmates trapped in a cavity, afraid, in shock, hungry, but alive. When the son saw the face of his father, he cried out to his friends, "See, I told you he would come. I told you he would find us. He always promised me that he would." Men, that's the power of a promise kept. It can inspire someone to do what they never dreamed that they could do. It can give another the strength to persevere when all else fails. That's the power that we hope all of you come to experience in the course of our time together. Now let me tell you where we learned this. I have to tell you that this is not something that we came up with on our own. We learned this from the greatest promise keeper of all, and that is God Himself. The God of the Bible is in the promise-keeping business. It began with Adam and Eve when God promised that He would send one, a deliverer, that would come through the seed of woman who would once and for all destroy the enemy of man's soul. God knew that the enemy of man's soul had buried all mankind under a heap of sin. And this first promise to Adam was the beginning of God coming and digging us out. And so the promises continued on through Abraham, to whom God promised a son. He said, through this son I will make of you a great nation, a people more numerous than the stars in the heavens. And then to one of the descendants of Abraham's son, Moses, God promised a land for this great nation to live in, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And once God had delivered on that promise and established the nation of Israel in the land, He raised up a king, King David, a man after God's own heart. And this is where it starts to get interesting, because it's here that the promises of God start to get directed at you. God made promises to David that the deliverer that He had promised to Adam would come through him. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be David's descendant. And from that line would come the one that would be called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And sure enough, this promise was kept when a young woman of the tribe of Judah, from the line of David, conceived a child by the Holy Ghost and brought forth a son in a town called Bethlehem and named him Jesus. And then Jesus further delivered on the promises of God by going to Calvary's cross and first taking on the sin of all mankind and then taking on the enemy of man's soul, and He defeated them both. But here the cost of a promise kept became very high. To remove these stones from the mass of rubble that was keeping men from God, it cost God the most precious thing that He had. It cost Him His own Son. To save our lives, Jesus had to give up His life. You see, men, there's a cost to being a promise keeper. And that cost is rarely cheap. Sometimes it will cost you dearly, but the results are always great. The reward is always far greater than the sacrifice. And certainly that was true for God. The promise that God kept by sending His only begotten Son to die for us enabled God to do that which He wanted to do more than anything else. And that was to bring you back into fellowship with Him. That's been the goal of God's great promises all along. His goal is to get to you. Christianity is not the story of how man can climb through his own sins and failures and get to God. No, it's the story of how God climbs through the rubble of our sin and He gets to us. And then I've got to tell you that tonight, God has you right where He wants you. God has located you. He has dug through the junk of your life. In fact, He's close enough tonight to hear your voice. And He has. As many of you for the first time have raised your voice to God in song. And men, I have to tell you this. Some of your singing was a little weak tonight. I know it's strange when 50,000 men come together to sing praise songs to Jesus. It would have been easier if we were singing, We Will Rock You. So for some of you, it was a little weak. But God still heard you. He's close enough to you tonight to hear your voice. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God knows what's going on deep inside of you tonight. And I believe that you can sense His presence in this place. I believe that you know tonight God is here to do business with you, and I believe God has prepared your hearts tonight to do business with Him. Because, men, here's the reality. You can't become a promise keeper until you come into a personal relationship with the ultimate promise keeper, and that's Jesus Christ. As Isaac boldly proclaimed, this is the foundation of the Promise Keepers movement. It's all based upon you having a personal relationship with a living God through His Son, Jesus. It's only as you live your life out in relationship with Him that you have the power to keep the promises that you make. It's only that you live your life out in relationship with Him that you have the desire to make the promises in the first place. Men, it all starts right here. To be a promise keeper, you have got to meet Jesus. And men, there's one thing you can know for sure tonight. God has done everything in His power to make that a reality. He has dug through the mass of sin that has covered you. He has broken through all the junk that has separated you from Him. And just as He's promised, He is standing at the door of your heart tonight, and He's knocking on the door of your heart, waiting for you to invite Him to come in and live in you. But now comes your part. The theme of our conference this year is breaking down the walls. There are walls that you've built around your life that will keep you from coming into a personal relationship with God. And I want to think about a few of these walls tonight. I believe God wants us to see them so that we can blow right through them. And then let me tell you what's going to happen here tonight. There are some walls that are going to be torn down. There are some barriers that have kept you from God, that have kept you from being all the man that God created you to be, that are going to be shattered tonight. There are some brick walls that you've come up against over and over again that tonight are going to be blown apart, and you're going to walk through them. In fact, some of you are going to run through them tonight in victory. And I want you to get ready for that, because it's going to happen. Tonight, the walls are going to be broken down. Let's think about some of those walls just for a minute. The first wall that's going to be broken down tonight is the wall of pride. You know, the Bible actually gives us a list of 7 things that God hates. At the top of that list is pride. Why? Because it is pride that keeps God from doing all the work in your life that He wants to do. It's pride that separates you from the forgiveness of God and the love of God and the salvation of God. You see, our pride tells us we can make it on our own. Our pride tells us that our plan for our life is the best. Our pride tells us that we can make it through our own sin and failures. Our pride tells us that we don't need God. We're doing just fine by ourselves. And yet, men, we know the reality of our lives. At our very best, we've come up empty. At our worst, we've lost those things that are the most precious to us. There are some of you here tonight that have lost wives and children and families, all sacrificed on the altar of success and self-gratification and net worth. There are others of you here tonight that are right on the brink of losing these precious things. You've let the roar of pride cancel out the still small voice of God that's telling you what's right. Or maybe with you it's even worse. Maybe God's voice in you is strong, but your pride will not let you do anything about it. But that's not the end of pride. Not only will pride strip you of all that you have, it will destroy the most precious thing you have, and that is your own soul. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet he lost his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Pride will send you off on this wild pursuit of all the world can offer you. And some of you will get it. Some of you already have. But what was the price? What did it cost you? It cost you your own soul. It cost you those very things that make you the man that God wanted you to be. You've sacrificed them. And then, here's the bottom line. What can you give in exchange for your own soul? Can money, possessions, stocks, companies, can they buy back the soul of man once it's been ripped from him? The answer is no. And in your heart of hearts, you know that. Tonight, you know that inside of you is something precious. Inside of you is something eternal that the world can never buy. Pride has one goal and one goal only. That's to lead you down a path where you end up on the material side saying, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. But on the spiritual side, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If pride has its way, it will destroy you here. And it will cast your soul into outer darkness in eternity. Oh, the wall of pride has to come down tonight, men.
The next wall I want to think about tonight is the wall of fear. There's a common slogan that many of you have on the back of your cars. Simple slogan. It says, no fear. It seems to be the battle cry of modern man. No fear. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. We can be anything we want. No one can get in our way. Nothing can hold us back. And that sounds so good, doesn't it? No fear.
We'd like to believe that. But the reality is, there are many things that scare us. And I'll tell you what scares us more than anything else is the thought of what would happen if God ever got total control of our lives. I mean, talk about butterflies and a dry mouth and weak knees. Man, this is it. But we know for sure that the first thing would happen if God got total control of our lives is that He'd drain all the fun right out of it. I mean, He would rip that snowboard off your feet so fast you wouldn't know what hit you. And before you knew it, you'd be spending all your time in church thinking about being a missionary in Africa. I mean, there was a guy in our church that God got a hold of his life. He sold all of his surfboards and he moved to Boulder. I mean, is that a scary thought or what? And then what would your friends think? I mean, talk about something we're afraid of. Man, this is it. What would the boys think if God got a hold of your life and you no longer did the things that you used to do with them? Well, that's not a no-fear situation. That's a big fear situation, and you know it. There are some of you here tonight that wouldn't even tell your friends you're going to Promise Keepers because you knew they would mock you. They'd make fun of you. They would think less of you. But here's the question that we have to ask. How good is your life with you in control of it? Hey, you've been running your life now for a number of years. How have you done? Are you all the man that you want to be? Have you become the man that you know God created you to be? Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you've become the man that you never wanted to be. See, that was the case with me. My greatest fear was not what God would do with my life. My greatest fear was what I would do with my life. That's what we should be fearing. Men, if we're honest with ourselves tonight, we know that there's a wall of fear around us that's keeping us away from God and His plan. The last thing I want us to think about tonight is the wall of sin. And really, this is more like a huge pile of sin than it is a wall. Our sins, our failures, our bad habits seem to bury us. And the more we move through life, the more they pile on until we begin to think, I'll always be this way. There's no way out of this for me. I'm no good to God. I'm no good to my family. It's hopeless. And so there's walls on the outside, fear and pride. And there's a huge pile of sin that's holding you down on the inside. You're trapped and you're buried. But here's what's amazing. On the outside, your life might look great. People may look at you and they're envious of your lifestyle. They say, if I could only be like that man. And yet you know inside that you're empty. You're trapped. Maybe as you've heard that, you say, that's the best description of my life I've ever heard. But how can I get out of here? How can these walls ever be broken down? Well, let me tell you how those walls are going to be broken down. And men, here's the truth. They're already starting to crumble. Here's why. You know, as your wives pack for you to come up here, and most your wives pack for you, didn't they, guys? They seem pretty normal. Well, they're excited you're going to Promise Keepers. They probably gave you more money than you thought. That was a sure tip-off. But they were pretty normal. But you know what they did as soon as you left your house? They got on their phone. They called those little old ladies at church that really know how to pray. They got them going. Then they called the prayer team. Got them going. Then they called the prayer chain. Got them going. To say that there are literally thousands of people praying for us right now is not an exaggeration. And men, in many cases, your wives and your loved ones are on their knees right now praying for the walls to come down in your life. For some of you, your children, your sons and your daughters are praying that the walls would come down, that you might be all the dad, all the husband they know you can be. And men, when our wives and our children and our families pray, God honors that. Those walls are going to come down. And then there's men sitting all around you tonight. Many of these men have been praying for you for years. And then when they heard you're coming to this event, they started to fast and to pray for you because they're serious about your spiritual life. They're serious about your relationship with God. They want to see you do business with God tonight. And so men, they're praying for you right now. That's why the walls are starting to crumble. But that's not all. More than anyone else, God wants to tear down the walls in your life. God wants to destroy anything and everything that stands between you and Him.
And so here's what God has done. First, God has totally dealt with the issue of sin in your lives. What you could never do for yourself, God did for you. Jesus became your sin on the cross. That pile of sin that was on you, Jesus took upon Himself that He might bear the wrath and the judgment of God for that sin. So that tonight, God the Father could forgive you of your sins and give you a brand new start. And not just a brand new start, but second thing that God has done is to give you promises to overcome your fears. Jesus Christ said this. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. See, Jesus didn't come to strip you of life. Man, he came to give you life. Real life. Abundant life. And men, there are many of you here tonight that have never experienced that. You've never known that. And you will never know that until you open up your life and invite Jesus Christ to come in. His promise to you tonight is life, and that more abundantly. The third thing that Jesus has done to break down the walls in your life is that he sent his Spirit to give you the courage and the strength that you need to beat back your pride and to say yes to God. Men, the power of God is in this place tonight. God's power is here. And by his power, he is going to set you free.
Now, men, you need to listen to me very carefully now. This may be the most important part of the whole weekend for many of you. In just a couple of minutes, I am going to pray. And after we pray, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seats after you have grabbed the Bible that we gave you as you came in. And you're going to make your way down to the front of the stage and you're going to meet me right here. There'll be ushers that will help you find your way down here. After we pray, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, grab your Bible, and meet me here, because down here I'm going to lead you in a prayer of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to give you a brand new start. Men, this is where being a promise keeper begins. It begins by you personally receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But to do that, I'm telling you, there are walls that have to be broken down. The first wall that's going to have to be broken down tonight is the wall of pride that's going to try to keep you in your seats. But guys, I can guarantee it, if you put the effort, you'll blow right through it. But that will not be the end. As you make your way down here, you'll have to blow through wall after wall after wall. Some of you are seated at the far end of the stadium, and I believe that God has you right where he wants you. Because all along the way, there are going to be walls that you blow through tonight. Men, this walk for you tonight is going to be a walk of victory. It's going to be a walk where the junk in your life is going to be cleared away so a whole new work of God can begin. After I pray tonight, there's going to be a rumble in this stadium that's going to rock the spiritual realm. Because the power of God, because the power of God is going to enable men to tear down the walls that have been keeping them from a God that loves them. The power of God is going to enable men to walk away from the kingdom of darkness and walk into the kingdom of light. So let's get down to business, men. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to come. So would you all bow your heads with me right now? Lord Jesus, you know each and every man here. You know the walls that are keeping them from your love and your forgiveness and your salvation. Lord Jesus, right now I pray that by your Spirit you'd give them courage to come and to meet you for a brand new start, that they might be born again by your Spirit right here tonight. Thank you for each man that's going to respond now. Thank you that you've brought them here for this very purpose, that they might know you in Jesus' name. Men, pick up your Bibles and come down here right now. From the very top to the very bottom, break through those walls, men. Crash through them, men. Break through them. It's a walk of victory, men. Get up. Get down here. It's a walk of victory, men. Men, as you gather before the stage tonight, we want to make it very clear what you're doing. This is so important for promise keepers. The good news is that God loves you, and that there's reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. But the reality is that mankind has lost that relationship with God because of our own sin. And part of what you're doing here tonight is you're confessing before God, God, I've sinned, I've fallen short of the man you wanted me to be. But Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross in my place, and he did. He died on the cross for you. Jesus Christ forgives our sin. He restores us to the Father. The reality is, men, you've not found God tonight. Your Heavenly Father's found you. Receiving Christ tonight is as simple as praying this prayer, because you see, God knows your heart. He's looking into your heart right now, and I want you to bow your heads with me. I want you to pray out loud this prayer after me tonight. Father, I've come home. Please make me your son. I turn from my sin. I accept your forgiveness that's made possible through Jesus Christ. I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I want to follow you and serve you. Let today be the beginning of my new journey as your son and a member of your family. You have always kept your promises. Help me to keep my promises too. In Jesus' name.